Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a three-panel LED light bulb. Now just $199. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $399. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $299. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy. I am Kelsey.
And I am Carmen, and it is a beautiful day to podcast.
Yay! Welcome back. Carmen, how are you enjoying your five episodes so far? No spoilies, just general overview so far.
No spoilies. I gotta tell you, I'm having a good time. I was actually at the doctor's office today, and I mentioned to the doctor that I'm kind of a professional. Something had come up, and I said, "Doctor, it's okay. I'm a professional. I've seen five episodes of Grey's Anatomy." And
her stethoscope on the spot. She said, "Great, I've got things to do. You can take over."
She actually said, "Are you the co-host of Grey's Academy? Because that's my favorite podcast."
Wow.
National and then she said, "I've left you a 5-star review and I've told all my friends about it." So basically anyone listening to this should do the same.
Oh, that's a good idea. They should. Listeners, yeah. Take note. So today,
can I just say, I'm not going to spoil it, and I'm going to give way more in-depth notes because this is the most notes that I've taken.
Oh, really? Interesting. I'm excited.
This was my favorite episode so far.
Oh, yay. Okay, yeah. I also have many along. Things to say about it, but I don't think I took as many notes. But okay, let's jump right in. All right, episode 5, Shake Your Groove Thing.
Shake your groove thing, shake your groove thing, Shimon.
There you go. All right, and do you know who sings it?
Peaches and Herb? Peaches and Cream?
Peaches and Herbs. What an odd name, but yes, that Peaches is and correct. Herb. It's the exact song you're all thinking of when you say Shake Your Groove Thing, and that song Carmen just sang. So, Carmen, what are your thoughts on the title of the song and the title of the episode?
Very fitting, especially when you get to the end.
With all the parties. Yeah.
I was really hoping that at that party they were playing that song. Missed opportunity.
I'm sure at some point they play the name of the song that's the title in the song or in the episode. I'm certain it has to happen. In 18 season, it's had to have happened at some point. So I'm very on high alert listening for it at every episode. It hasn't happened yet. So we'll see when or if it ever actually does.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, it would just be fine to just start the episode. They start episode with music every time. Yeah. Just start it with the song.
Well, I mean, maybe sometimes they just like the title of the song and it's not in the vibe of the episode. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I get it.
Maybe we'll find out at some point. Okay. So this episode aired April 24th, 2005 to 17.9 million viewers. So kind of holding strong right under the 18 million. So, but you know, in 2005 for live television, you know, before anyone was DVRing and TiVoing stuff, that's pretty good.
That is pretty fantastic.
This episode was directed by John David Coles, who has directed many things, notably Sex and the City, Law and Order, West Wing, Desperate Housewives, Homeland, and House of Cards, for which he was nominated for multiple awards. So he's very busy. This is the only episode of Grey's Anatomy he directed, I believe. Or he may have done two. One or two. It was a very small number.
Interesting.
This episode is another one that was not written only by Shonda. It was written also by Anne Hamilton, who has done some writing, but has more credits as a producer. And in addition to helping write this episode, she was also a producer on Grey's Anatomy for a while. Is not currently, but was for the early seasons. And I believe won an Emmy for the time frame she was producing on the show, got an Emmy, I think. So good for her. Good for her. Okay, so let's see. What does Netflix say happened in this episode?
I still don't know.
Let's learn together. Meredith believes she may have erred during surgery and endangered her career. And Izzy tries to throw a party for her new boyfriend. I already have an issue with this. At no point do they say Izzy's boyfriend is new. He's just new to us. I don't think he's new to her.
Yeah, it sounds like they've been together for a while, yeah, doing some long-distance shenanigans.
That absolutely is what it seems like. So that's my main qualm with that description, because they never say it's her new boyfriend. It's just new to us, the audience.
I will say I'm glad that they included multiple plots, because I feel, yes, like they've under-delivered on the plot lines for these last couple of synapses.
Yes, I agree. Pretty much all the other ones are just one single plot line, which the show pretty regularly has multiple plot lines going on, as most shows do. So, alrighty. So let's begin. We open. Meredith is sleepy. I, too, am sleepy. She is complaining about being an adult. I, too, think being an adult is difficult. So I, right off the bat, am agreeing with everything that's happening. I'm sleepy. Being an adult is hard.
Well, she said at one point, like, remember when you could have cookies as a kid for breakfast? And I was like, yes, you mean today when I woke up and I had cookies for breakfast? Because I still do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you didn't have to pay bills. So
I paid bills yesterday.
Yes, but as a child.
Oh, as a child, right, right.
Yes.
Also, does she right off the bat, because I made a note of this somewhere, but did she right off the bat said that she was up 48 hours straight, or was that?
Yes, she said it immediately. She goes, I haven't slept in 48 hours, and I could do heart surgery today. And I was like, that's a terrible combination. I have to have heart surgery, I would like you to be rested.
It makes you rethink the entire medical system, especially this episode. Just totally,
I will say,
you know,
that's true. But I will say, at some point during the show, they address this. They're like, the way that hours are monitored for, especially like interns and residents, like shifts during, like the way the medical community as a whole does it, shifts. And I assume they did that because it's true in real life, but I also might be wrong. They switch their shift lengths to not be 48 hours, to be 24 hours. And then they are forced to not be at the hospital for like a specific amount of time. I'm pretty sure, at least in the show, that happens. I don't know if that's real life. I would love that it should be real life, because again, if I am having any surgery, I want you to be well rested.
Yeah. And there's something about, you know, the adrenaline that kicks in, but right, I think the adrenaline can only take you so far. And as we see in a little bit, that adrenaline can wear off.
Right, but I was confused because she's holding the heart in her hand, which I think would be a pretty big deal. And you would think that would be when the adrenaline would kick in. But she's falling asleep. I don't know. I mean, I have fallen asleep doing many things before, so I understand a little bit.
Well, you got to think that her body would have had to be starting to relax, because it was right at the end of the surgery.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's like that old saying of like 90% of the accidents happen in your last 2 miles or 1 mile,
yeah,
of
like
your trip.
In your neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah. But okay, before we get into the surgery thing, there's this whole power of attorney scene.
Yes.
Can you imagine having power of attorney for your parents?
No. Or anyone. And I don't want to. I don't want to make... I have hard enough times making decisions for myself. And I am... In a lot of ways, in a lot of scenarios, very decisive. And in a lot of scenarios, very undecisive, because I am a complex lady. So yes. I
can confirm.
Yeah, I think it's also hard because typically I do think power of attorney is given to like a spouse or a child or a relative. And I just think like that's hard because you would have a lot of emotions involved, right? I would want someone who could be just like really almost black and white about it and be really like, these are the facts, these are the odds, this is X, Y, and Z, this is what you should do. But it's just like when emotions get involved, it's just so tricky. So,
well, it's also too, no matter what, you're never going to know what's best for that person better than that person. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what, no matter how well I know Jess.
Right.
Or care so deeply about Jess, I'm still not going to be able to make the exact same decision in certain scenarios that she would.
Right. And that's why you also have to have the living will.
Right.
It's like,
right.
If X happens, then you need to do Y.
We did talk about that, though.
Yes,
I mean, with obviously
we've
the baby
talked about
coming.
It also. And we really have to sit down and make all the legal papers legal so that other people don't have to wonder. Because we talk about it at length with each other. I'm like, well, if something happens to both of us, it's a mystery to everyone else. So,
right, right. Well, I understand that we would be raising Scarlett as our own.
Right, right, right. Also, what would be difficult is obviously not in the scenario with Meredith, but if you're a child and you're the power of attorney and you have siblings, I've known multiple situations where people had that happen. And the sibling, like the one whose power of attorney is trying to honor what the person wants, but the siblings are like fighting because it's not what they want or they're not ready to like move on or let go or whatnot. So it's definitely a tricky situation. And I feel for anyone who has been in it or isn't in it. And I hope that everyone just doesn't have to make hard decisions in life, but that's unrealistic.
I just hope that everyone remains healthy and lives forever. But we come back to the power of attorney scenes a little bit later. So
yes,
this jumps into that heart surgery scene after that, yes. I think.
Yeah. So we're holding the heart, we're sleepy, we're falling asleep. And then she doesn't notice the hole in the glove until after they start to close. So I guess the thought is when she kind of slips and squeezes the heart, when she squeezed, the nail punctured the glove. That's the thought process. But they don't really show it until a little bit later.
Yeah. In my head, you probably should have said something in that moment because I also didn't understand. In when I saw that the glove had ripped, I was like, what's the big deal? I don't understand.
Right.
Later on in the episode, it makes sense. I understand. But I spent half the episode going, who cares? Like, are you going to get an infection?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yes. And then, okay, so they start talking about Izzy's going to throw this party. She has an out-of-town boyfriend. First time we're hearing about it. But it's established. It's canon now. She has a boyfriend. He's a hockey player. And then I said, hole in the glove. May have been worth mentioning. Probably.
I think I said, okay, so also on the scene of that, the heart stopped beating at one point and they were just flicking the heart. Like just,
yeah.
Come on, you got this.
That's so like, again, I'm not a doctor, so most of my doctoring expertise comes from medical shows, namely Grey's Anatomy, also Dr. House. There's less surgery on Dr. House. But very oftentimes when they show heart surgery, like when they bring a person off of a bypass, there's like, they give the heart a few minutes to like, I mean, not a few minutes, but a chunk of time to kind of start beating on its own because they need to know that it can. Like, that's the whole point. They need to know that it can beat on its own. And sometimes it takes a minute and they don't automatically jump to the paddles every time. But so sometimes they'll just be like, come on, little buddy, start on up. Come on, little buddy.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of hilarious. Because I'm like, oh, look at that cute little heart go.
Yeah, just like a little baby. Come on, little buddy.
Yeah. But the note that I said specifically after that, which I did think that was funny. And then all caps, damn, she ripped her glove and shit. That's wild. And they don't want to tell her, nah, that's bogus.
Yeah.
I'm like putting my entire stream of consciousness into these notes.
Yeah. It's a good time. So then, okay, so then we go to George. You know what? Everyone was likable in this episode. I truly, there were like small moments where I was like a little annoyed with people, but like George was better. Alex was better. Like everyone, Izzy was better. I was like, man, no one's annoying me this episode. This is nice. No one is annoying. Everyone is way more likable, which, you know, you like to see because especially when you look at Alex, at this point, we've been given no reason to like him. And we're 5 episodes in. So you got to think, okay, how many episodes can they make you dislike him before it's impossible to recover from? So we get to 5. We get a little bit of backstory. We get a little bit of humanity from him. It's nice. There's nothing. There's no like strings attached, it seems, as of right now. So yes, we're with George. So I wrote in all caps, don't smoke. It's 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
We know it's not good for you. Please don't do it. We just want you all to live forever and not have to give power of attorney to someone else.
Exactly. Also, to your point, can I just say, in these notes, I wrote both, I just don't like Alex, like, at all, and I wrote something nice about Alex, all in the same note, in the same episode.
Yeah, I have similar things. I wrote right here, wait, Alex isn't being the worst. What a time. How long will it last? Because when they first introduce the guy who's clearly a drug addict... and Alex, it's kind of the first time we see him just relaying patient facts and not making jokes or like being an ass about it. He's just kind of saying like, this is what it is. Like, clearly he's an addict, and he does get frustrated when, McDreamy tells him that he still has to give the guy pain meds. He gets frustrated and, as we learn later, doesn't do it initially, but he at the first conversation of the diagnosis, it's really just like, look, I can be normal.
Yeah, and it was interesting too. I had written that you want to, even if it is a junkie, erring on the side of caution. That is the line in the sand that I don't think that I could handle as a doctor.
Yeah,
like saying, okay, I see that you're a junkie. I see that you are very addicted to pain meds, but I still have to treat you. That.
Right.
I don't think I could do that. And it was actually, it was kind of that human moment for Alex that I appreciated. But that guy by the end of the episode, I for sure hate that guy. That guy sucks.
It's definitely difficult. There's a lot of debate in the world in general and in the medical world about addiction and whether it's a disease or a choice. And it is, I think what's important to remember is that Derek said, yes, he's an addict, but he's also in pain. So we still have to treat him. And they do, you know, they're like, oh, here are rehabs. And then at the end, ultimately, they bring the lady in to talk about rehabs and moving forward. But yeah, there's actually like truly a bunch of documentaries being released right now about like opioid and the opioid epidemic and the responsibility of the medical community and pharmacists, like big pharma and the people making these medications and like what level of responsibility they have. So it's definitely debated heavily in many, many areas.
So the next patient, which I actually credit the reason I like George to this patient.
Right.
She was in Scrubs.
Yes.
Played the exact same style of character. This sweet old lady.
Yep.
And also, George is just the Grey's Anatomy version of JD. I've come to the conclusion.
Yeah.
But George is way less competent and way less likable.
Right. At this point.
At this point. But actually, George had a good episode. It's just funny, him running around the hospital. You have to clear it with Meredith.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed his character this episode. But so, in Scrubs, her name was Mrs. Tanner. And she had multiple episodes of the course from 2001 to 2009. And she kept telling him, like, hey, go live your life. Like, hey, this is fine. Hey, go travel. Blah, blah, blah. So it's just funny to see her play basically, like, the exact same kind of patient, just with less words, and be that for George.
So, So I looked at this lady because she's been in a million things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Catherine Jostin. She did pass away in 2012.
Rest in peace.
Two of her most notable roles were Desperate Housewives and The West Wing, which is interesting. I took note of that because the guy who directed this directed multiple episodes of West Wing and Desperate Housewives. So I just like thought that was interesting.
Wow.
If that was like maybe he like had suggested her, or because like if he had a working history with her and like knew she was like talented, professional, maybe he suggested, or it could have been a coincidence. She really has done like so much work in Hollywood though. Like if you pull up her IMDb page, it's kind of one of those like quote unquote those guys where you're like, oh, that guy that's in everything. Like she's fits into that category for sure. So yes, I did, because I have seen her in a lot of other things, and I thought that she would maybe be in other Shonda shows, but she's actually not. Well, while I do know her from a lot of things, this is the only Shonda show she ever actually did, so that's interesting.
Also, I didn't know that she died. That's super sad.
Well, yes, but this episode is from 2005, and she was not super young in it, so.
No, but you gotta think. I mean, that's only
wildly surprising.
Yeah, but she didn't strike me as someone who was, you know, knocking at death's door.
No,
back
she
in 2005.
Lived 7 years after this episode.
Yeah, but she could have lived
a decent
another
amount of years.
Yeah, it's fine, I guess. I just expect everyone at this point in time to live to be 150.
That sounds terrible.
Well, but science will make it feel like 150 years old is more like your 70s. That's what I'm assuming.
Okay, so to her point, the point of the patient. Everyone's just assuming that she's having these issues because she's a smoker, but she quit smoking after the last surgery that she had. And George is like, what are you talking about? We saw the x-rays. Like, clearly you're still a smoker. Doesn't believe it. So then we learn the realities.
Before we get into there.
I did write, George is very good with patients.
Yes, he is very good bedside manner. I'd give him a 10 out of 10 for that.
And then we get, oh, hold on. What's your next note? You go first.
Okay, it's the Burke and Christina shit. Okay,
yay.
I gotta tell you, you've all seen this episode. I was on a roller fucking coaster. I wrote, okay, so remember last episode how I said
do.
That moment in the hallway was sexual? I knew it. I
you
knew
didn't
it.
Say
I
sexual,
fucking
you just said awkward. And that's
no.
because, nope.
Nope.
We literally
no.
have it recorded. You didn't say sexual, you only said awkward and weird. Because it took everything in me to not be like, oh, it was sexual tension.
No, I could have sworn, because my note said there was sexual tension there.
That
maybe
might
I
be
did,
true, but you didn't say it, because
okay.
I would have probably burst at the seams had you said it.
Okay, the second I saw that in the last episode, I was like, oh, they're going to fuck. And then he brings her the coffee, and then I was like, yo, hold on, my exact notes, all caps, does Burke like Christina with 1,000 question marks and 1,000 exclamation points? OMMMGGG, lots of fucking G's. I knew that last episode look was fucking sexual. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Fuck.
Yes.
I knew it. But then later on, I'm like, oh, okay, apparently it wasn't. Was he trying to silence her with coffee? But then, okay, so anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves. That was my note, but I was so jazzed. I was so
happy.
My
note is a bunch of the big eye look like this emoji, right? A bunch of those, and then Burke, Christina, hello. Because I knew it was the first season, but I couldn't remember when. And so when you said it last episode, I was like, I don't know. So I'm so glad. Because I truly wanted it to be like a surprise. Because
it was.
If you watch that moment, especially now, like knowing that, you can definitely see the sexual tension. But truly, like, if you watch that blind, you're like, oh, that's kind of a weird moment, which is what you said. So it's so interesting. So yay, I love that. So I'm so excited that we can begin this part of our journey together, because
yes,
it's part of one of my favorite parts. So I love Isaiah Washington. I love Sandra Oh. I love Christina and Burke. It's perfect.
I will say though, if Christina ever gives Meredith a hard time about sleeping with your boss again, she is a hypocrite asshole.
Okay. Noted.
Yes. I'm going on the record. But then we get to the towel and the lung
shit. Yes, then we're in the towel. And I wrote, wow, it's crowded in there. Because I don't think they're in a true surgery suite, because they're just doing originally like a catheter or scope surgery. So I don't think it's like the full operating room. I think it's just like a little outpatient thing. So then it just looked really crowded to me, because I don't think that's typically where a surgery would occur. So I was like, wow, that's just a lot of people right on top of that little open woman.
It's like just going to your bedroom and doing a surgery real quick.
Exactly. And then I wrote, oh my God, I totally forgot about this, because I really did forget that there was a towel in that lady.
But
I totally forgot about that storyline.
In the camera, though, it doesn't look like a towel. It looks like there's like a sludge or something.
Yeah, because it's been in her body for five years.
Yeah. But I was also confused in the beginning. I thought that they were pulling that out of her lungs. It was underneath, or
it was
behind?
Like behind her lungs. Yeah.
Yeah. I was unclear on that immediately, but as the episode grew, I was more clear on that.
Yes. And then I wrote, Dr. Bailey is the best.
Yeah. Because am I invited to the party?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then she was, then George is like, what did you want me to say? And Christy just goes, ugh.
Hey, when she shows up to the party, though, she looks hot.
She looks so good. I wrote that. I said, Dr. Bailey is a fancy lady. And then I said, and Alex is being the worst again. That did not last very long. Because that's when he was like, well, I'm not going to give him the medicine, even though you, my direct superior, told me to do that.
Before we get to that point, though, I think Christina finds the old file.
Oh, okay. I had that next. Because I wrote, that is a very small room to have all the files.
Yeah. So, okay. Maybe it was out of order. Because I have a couple steps down. I just don't like Alex, period. Like, at all. So maybe it was out of order. There was something
or
else that
probably Alex did something that you didn't like a little later. It's also a very real possibility.
When I first saw that, I thought that it might have been Dr. Bailey or Dr. Weber. It did not even occur to me that it was Dr. Burke.
Right. Yeah, because he's not, like, involved in it at that point.
Yeah.
But as far as storyline plot lines go, you know, it lines up pretty nicely, which is, it's almost like it was written that way, but it lines up nicely. It's a nice parallel to what else is happening in Dr. Burke's career currently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wrote Dr. Burke was the fellow, because it says surgical fellow Dr. Burke, but not the surgeon. So the way they portray it a lot of times in this show is even if the fellow is doing the surgery or the resident is doing the surgery or an intern is doing the surgery, the surgeon on the whose name is on the case is the one that is supposed to take the fall, basically, because they're supposed to be monitoring, watching, teaching, making sure everything is going as it needs to go, basically. So it's, I mean, obviously he would still have been involved clearly, but he was not the surgeon on it. To me, it was just confusing as to why they are saying, like, why even make him a fellow if you're going to then tell the story as though he is the surgeon on the case. I just thought it was kind of an odd story point to not just make him be the main surgeon on it. I guess other than to be like, in my learning part of my career, I made a mistake rather than be in his, you know, final career.
Right.
I don't know. I just took a notice of that.
Yeah, and then after that, it's the lady heart thing starts to unravel.
Right. Well, first, Derek asks Meredith out.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wrote big chunks of carbs in a basket, because I thought that was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Because I do love a big old carb in a basket. So Derek and Meredith, he had noticed that she wasn't as excited as he thought she should be after the heart surgery. So he's asking, are you fine? You don't seem fine. And then he's trying to get her out to go out to dinner because he knows about the party, even though she didn't tell him. And it's kind of, the party's getting out of hand, as we can see.
Very quickly.
Meredith doesn't really know. She's like, how do you know about the party? But she doesn't really know that it's a disaster at this point. So, and then the heart situation is happening with Mrs. Preston and things are going badly. They have to take her back into surgery and Meredith makes a great decision to announce this mistake she's made in front of a lot of people, including the patient's husband.
Yeah. Great decision.
As I wrote, you said that in front of too many people. Because again,
way too many people.
Not to say that you shouldn't be honest and forthright, but that truly could have had absolutely nothing to do with the issue. It could have been completely unrelated. And you've given this man, like, you've given him a medical malpractice lawsuit on a silver platter.
Oh, 100%. And they were taking her away. You could have just waited 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so many options. But, you know, she hasn't slept in 48 hours, so I guess she's just so sleepy.
Yeah. And then, so one of my favorite Dr. Weber quotes so far is, so he's leaving the room and he's like, people poking holes in people's hearts and leaving towels in people's chests.
I wrote that same thing down. I wrote, ha, 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 ha. It's not funny, so funny in reality, but it's funny in the show.
No, but like, yeah, he's the chief of surgery, right?
Yes, correct.
So like everything falls on him.
Yes.
He's got to be like, what an incompetent bunch of assholes.
Which, again, not in the medical field. I don't know that the chief of surgery really does anything other than administrative stuff. So it's the fact that he's like doing a laparoscopic surgery on the lung of that old lady when they find the towel. I'm like, would the chief really be doing that? I don't know. Just things I think about. Obviously, in the show, he's a great character and I love him, and it's great to have him be involved in the plots. I just think the reality of a chief of surgery probably wouldn't be doing surgeries like that. But I could be wrong. Again, if you're a chief of surgery, email us and let us know. We would love to ask you many questions about the realities of the show.
We could find a couple. We should interview some chiefs of surgeries.
If you are a chief of surgery or know a chief of surgery, hit us up. graysacademypod@gmail.com.
Hey-o.
Okay,
I don't,
so then,
also, after
yeah,
this,
I wrote that quote.
I don't remember what happened, but I said, IDK, I like Dr. Handsome Face McDreamboat. So I don't know. Something about him, I think I like him. I think he's one of my favorite characters now on the show.
Good.
I don't remember what happened, but I just like him.
Maybe because he came to talk to her about the heart situation after she's on the phone, because I wrote, so she's sitting there with George and Christina talking about how she's going to have the meeting with the chief or whatever in the morning. And then she has to go take the phone call from the home where her mom is. And I wrote, oh my God, that cell phone. Cause I don't know if you saw it, but it's huge. Cause it was 2005.
Huge.
It is insane how much in truly a relatively short period of time, cell phones and technology has changed. But, so she's taking that phone call. She's like planning everything out, ironing out the details for the thing to sign in the evening with her mom. And Derek comes in at the end of that and says, I heard about the heart. And that's when they were talking and he kind of comforts her. So maybe that's when you were saying that you like Derek. Because he comforts her, but he doesn't really, like, get too line-crossy about it. He's truly just like, you know, things happen, you don't know, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah. But I've decided that he is, I don't want to say for sure top five, because there are only really, like, five characters in the show. But depending on the episode, he is going back and forth, definitely either the 1, 2, or 3 slot for me.
Good to know. Noted. Okay, so then we get to Christina sees something with Burke and she's suspect. She's asking questions. She's kind of figuring things out. She doesn't know if he's like, if they're doing a cover up, if there's going to be any kind of repercussions. She doesn't know. She's only seeing from the outside. Obviously, all she knows is she found the paper with his name on it. So she's,
and when he's talking, you mean when he's talking to Burke and Bailey are talking in that side room?
Yes.
Because
I
think that's the
quote.
I wrote,
Christina is suspect of Burke.
Yeah, before my suspicions about them fucking were confirmed, I was nervous that he was just being nice to her because he screwed something up and like was trying to cover it up. Mm-hmm. So I was actually really sad for a second there.
That's good. But when he gives her the coffee, it's before we know about the towel, before he even knows about the towel situation. So that was purely
that
motivated
sense.
By Booty.
My timeline was out of whack for a brief second there. Then.
It's hard when you watch them all, you know, it all gets jumbled up. So Ellis, we're back at Ellis. We're trying to sign the papers. She is not lucid. And I think this is really where we've established that at this point, when she is not lucid, she is like back in her heyday as pro surgeon. That's where she goes to in her mind. So a lot of times, when you hear about Alzheimer's, sometimes it's just a memory or a confusion, and sometimes it's they're just completely living in a different time frame of their life. And with Ellis, that's really where it is. She's very grounded in this aspect of being a surgeon and all the surgery stuff that she remembers, and she thinks everyone around her are other doctors or nurses or people she needs to be bossing around and doing emergency surgeries for. So we kind of got the groundwork of that in a previous episode, and now I think that's really just supposed to be established. That's just what we're supposed to believe now.
The first time we saw that was with Nurse O'Fallon. Nurse Fallon.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, how is she? Oh, blah, blah, blah.
It makes her write like she comes right to as soon as she says Elizabeth Fallon, and yeah, so.
That brings me a little bit of mental comfort, though, for, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if Meredith sees it that way, but at least right. she's not, like, completely delirious, like, how some, like, the ending of The Notebook, right?
Yeah.
Where she's, like, totally doesn't even know who he is, who Noah is anymore.
Right.
It's just, hey, I'm back in this time period, so at mm-hmm. least she has some, I don't know, in
she
that
moment.
She has
a grounding
yes.
time frame. She's not
exactly.
again, she's not just confused. She's just not current.
That would give me some mental comfort if someone I knew with Alzheimer's wasn't just paranoid, like out of control.
Right.
They were grounded in something. I would feel
right.
good
it's
about
nice that there's not a lot of confusion, but it is. I'm sure for Meredith, difficult as we don't know a whole lot yet about her childhood, but we do have some inklings to the fact that maybe Ellis wasn't terribly present because she was always doing surgery things and being a kick-ass surgery lady. So it probably just depends person to person on where they fall within that memory, right? So she would have been a child in this time frame, and she's now
right.
an adult. So that's got to be... It's a transition for everybody.
Yeah.
And then I said, Bailey at the party, what a fancy lady. So we're at the party.
Yeah.
It's a time. Meredith's not there. George is freaking out, as he is prone to do.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of people. Lots of friends that we've never seen before and we'll probably never see again.
I would be absolutely pissed. I'd be so
yeah.
pissed. But I did write that when Bailey came to the party, I said, for sure, she would do friendship shots with me. And then also, later, Meredith and Christina and George are all dancing on the table drinking tequila.
Yeah.
And I thought... They would for sure do friendship shots with me, but I'm not inviting George.
That's fine. Okay, so she's a quick glimpse at the party, and then we're back at the hospital. Izzy's trying to leave. That guy is losing, freaking out because he doesn't want to go. He just wants more drugs.
And absolutely train wrecked that poor nurse. And they didn't even check on her.
Yeah.
That lady was dead, and they were like, they don't even know what happened to her. I never saw her again.
They just, yeah, he's like throwing people off. They're saying, okay, I'm going to call the psych ward. And that really sets him off. So then he just head first battle ramps into some piece of medical equipment. And that thing wins. And he goes down cold.
No,
so,
he crashed into a person, I thought.
No, he crashed into like a big like medical piece of equipment.
Oh, I thought it was a nurse.
I mean, he's like, he like throws a nurse off of him at some point.
It happened
like
very
flies
quickly.
Out of the frame. But he smacks his head hard. They do the scans. There's a brain bleed and midline shift, which is insane. So that basically means he hit his head so hard that his brain shifted. The midline, that line that goes on the middle of your brain, is not in the middle of his head anymore. It's like to the side because that's how hard he hit his head. That is terrifying.
Yeah, no thanks. So they were doing the surgery to shift it back.
And make the bleed stop.
Yeah. And the bleed, I guess.
The bleeding. The brain bleeding is bad, turns out. And I wrote, Alex is being okay, and Izzy definitely isn't going to that party.
Yeah, I think I... Where is it? I said, did Alex just briefly become a human mid-surgery with that story about his dad?
Yeah. Yeah, so... yeah, we get a little bit back... A little bit of Alex's backstory. He doesn't go into it at length. He just says basically his dad was a junkie, and because he was in the music industry, everyone just kind of accepted it because it's not terribly uncommon. Doesn't really affect the musicians, but it's, he said, not great for the family at home. So
right.
Very minimal backstory, but enough for people to kind of, I think it's nice because it gives people information, and he's kind of saying, you know, if I'm being... Like, if I'm taking this case personally, it's because it's personal to me. But he's not saying it to the point of, like, hey, leave me alone, never talk to me again. Like, it's just enough information to make people kind of understand, but not too much information where you're like, yikes.
Yeah, and then he's trying to let Izzy go and go to
yeah,
the party. You
that
know?
Was so nice. I kept waiting for some jerk punchline at the end, and he just was being nice for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I was also, I think, is... No, hold on, I didn't write that note. I was about to jump into another note. But yeah, I was actually, it was a tiny, tiny redeeming arc. I was glad to see it after the giant blow up that they had the episode before.
Yeah.
So yeah. I hope that he finally respects her as a peer.
Yes. So let's flash back a second to Meredith arriving at her home, and there are just drunk people stumbling everywhere. She's in her car. She says, "Izzy, I'm going to kill you," which is fair. Izzy's not even there, but I love the moment she walks in. Christina is so wasted, and she is dancing alone on a table, and she just goes, "Baby, you made it." I just love that moment so much. It brings me such joy. And then
I love drunk Christina.
Meredith gets on the table and goes, "I made it," and then starts downing tequila as though it is water.
Yes, that's
straight
my girl.
So yeah, she's a tequila girl. So that is a through line in this show. So you'll love that.
She has become my queen. Her and Christina have both become my queens in this episode.
I love their relationship. I love when the two of them and George were just sitting on the floor drunk playing cards. I love that. I think it's hilarious. And the hockey guy comes up and Christina tries to hit on him but is drunk, and then he does nothing, so she just goes, "Okay," and walks away. George says, "You and Izzy will have tall blonde babies like Barbies." I love it. Meredith is like, "We're both mad at Izzy because she's not here, and I'm mad about it, and you're mad about it, and we can be mad together." I think they play drunk very well, and it's humorous and entertaining, and just long enough. It doesn't get tiresome or anything, but it's nice. It's just a nice, funny moment.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very... I hope they get drunk again as the episodes go on, because I would watch an entire show just about the three of them drunk.
Yeah, it was a good time. I like it. I would love to also see drunk Izzy in the game. I'm sure that would also be amusing, so maybe one day we'll get that.
Yes, and then, Izzy too.
A hockey man shows up at the hospital. Izzy is there, and we have an awkward breakup. It's not really a breakup, but is a breakup.
Yeah. I thought they were going to break up.
I'll call you, and I'm like, "You're not going to call. Why are you saying that?"
But then they kissed. And then...
No, they kissed. Yeah, yeah, you're right. He does kiss her goodbye, but I guess he's just kissing her goodbye. Bye, end of relationship kiss, you know, like you do. I don't know.
I don't know either. That was very confusing.
Because he's just saying kind of, you know, "You're really busy," which is true. She is. And, you know, she has that whole thing going with her other patient throughout the episode where he's saying, "Oh, I was going to go to med school, but I couldn't balance it with my family. And so I switched and now I do a medical research." And he's kind of saying the whole time, "You're not going to get out of here on time. You can't have a life and be a doctor," blah, blah, blah. And that's ultimately what happens. So.
Well, it was very interesting, though, because she's like, "Oh, well, you didn't have a problem coming to all those parties when I was a model." And he's like, "Well, you were at those parties."
Yeah,
like,
I think she's definitely, the way I watched it, I kind of thought she came into it really defensive and he's just saying things. He's not really being accusatory or having an attitude, but she's getting very defensive very quickly because she's had this guy in her ear all day telling her that she can't have both a life and a career. And then that's basically becoming her reality right in front of her. And so unbeknownst to Hank, who just rolled up, she's basically already had this conversation. And so she's getting very defensive right away. And so then, you know, it's not really an argument, but it's just not a terribly productive conversation.
Also, being as someone who was in a long distance relationship, the last thing in the entire galaxy that I would want the first night of being in to visit my girlfriend would be to go to a party with all those people. I would just want to be with my girlfriend alone.
A house full of drunk people that you don't know.
Maybe on the second night, but that first night, be alone, be eating
enjoy
food,
company,
be smushing, right? Yeah. That's it.
Reconnect.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick pause here for our favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so Jonathan Scarf or Scarfy, I don't know. It's the guy who plays Izzy's boyfriend.
Scarfe.
Is also in an episode of Station 19. And Jeff Doucette, who is the man who went, the patient that went to med school but then wasn't a doctor. He is a big one. He has done 2 episodes of Grey's, so he's in another episode of Grey's later. He does done Station 19, How to Get Away with Murder, and Scandal. So, like, the main ones. She does have a couple other ones, but he has not been in those. But those are like the very well-known big ones. So he is he is truly living in Shondaland.
Station 19, refresh my memory. Does that cross over with Grey's Anatomy?
Yep.
So does he play a hockey player in that show?
Nope.
So he plays a completely different person?
Yep.
So he is doing the Chris Evans, Captain America, and Johnny Torch guy in this world. Okay,
There are many, many people who do that because Private Practice is the same thing where it's a spinoff and there's lots of crossovers and they use a lot of the same actors. And I'm like, you are really world busting here because that person died on this show and is super alive over here. So
I actually like that. That's kind of funny because they did that in an episode of Scrubs where Laverne dies, but she comes back as another nurse. So it was just funny. They gave her the nickname Laverne again. It was as if they were breaking their own fourth wall.
Yeah. And then finally, Barry Henley, who is the husband of the Hole in the Heart lady, was also in Station 19.
Okay. As a big role or just one episode?
I think it was just one episode, one or two episodes.
Can we talk about that guy for a second?
Yes, let's.
I know that this whole thing and he's on the phone with his lawyer, but what a dick.
Yeah, it's, again, we have to remember, it's easy to call names, but we have to, if your wife is dying inside of a hospital and you believe that the doctors solely are at fault, you're probably not going to be nice to the doctors either, especially if your lawyer said, don't talk to them or you'll lose this court case.
I guess that's fair. Yeah.
But yes, he's being unkind, but I can objectively understand why. I try to be kind to people even in situations, like, especially people who are working, like people you don't know, because you never really know what's going on. You never have the full story. But even if someone is mean, I try and be nice to them because I say, maybe if I'm nice to them, they won't be mean to the next person. You never know.
Maybe. Exactly.
He's not being nice because he's thinks that Meredith has killed his wife.
But it's not just not being nice, it's borderline not giving a medical history to a doctor to where it could stop you from saving the life. But anyways, I digress.
I'm confused as to how they didn't already know this. Truthfully, it seems kind of like bad doctoring to not know that this woman just lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
If she was referred by another cardiologist, that cardiologist was probably with her through that weight loss. So why would that cardiologist not have it in their notes that they had lost 100 pounds in a year?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is admirable. A lot of weight loss, if that's what you're working towards, is not an easy thing. So that's admirable. But, you know, like they say in the show, that amount does take a toll on the body. So it is important to know everything and make sure, you know, you're with the doctor, know what's healthy and what you need to be doing.
Exactly.
If you lose 100 pounds in a year, your heart muscle can deteriorate, which is terrifying. You would think it shouldn't be allowed to do that. It should just work correctly.
Apparently, it should. So what do you have next on your notes there?
So we're in the Dr. Weber's office with the legal team. So we got Meredith Burke and some lawyers. The lawyer is not being nice. And it's the hospital lawyer. And she's being super rude. It's like, this lawyer is just not nice. So I don't know. She's just basically saying Meredith's at fault. She said it in front of the patient. So now the patient's going to sue the whole hospital, blah, 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 everything. And then Dr. Burke does his I've made mistakes speech. I love Dr. Burke. It's a great speech. But I'm like, so if this wasn't happening, when would you have brought up the towel thing?
Right. But if in a world where he doesn't bring up the towel thing, the lady never finds out. She doesn't come back, and this all doesn't line up. And this, you know, it's
but they
a TV
told
show.
The towel lady that they pulled a towel out of her when she woke up.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right. It's a TV show. They wrote it this way for the plot points to line up exactly. but is there any consequence to Burke leaving that towel? And like, clearly he feels guilty. That's important to note. He feels guilt. He feels remorse. He has learned from that. But
yeah,
there's no consequence. It seems that that we see there could be consequence. We don't see as an audience. So I assume there's not any.
If you don't think there is, then there for sure isn't.
If they don't say it, then it just like if you don't show me, fine. But shouldn't you at least tell me? But whatever. So then we get sexual tension. Between Christina and Burke. And they're kissing and they're touching and they're taking off the pants and I love them so much.
Yeah, I said I was writing it so quick so it was going in and out of caps, but I said, yo, they're fucking damn shit. Wee wow wow wow, and then a lot of S's because I was missing the W. But before that, Bailey found out that they that Meredith and, Handsome Pants were in the car. Oh.
Bailey knows.
Yeah. And because they cross paths later on in the episode, too.
Yeah.
And he just looks at her, and she's like, mm-mm-mm. But that was the end of
my
notes.
We'll see where that comes in later on. And then we get the, you know, they do quick shot of the Ellis being lucid, and Meredith is now legally power of attorney. She's making all the decisions, so she has that responsibility as an adult now. And then
right.
And then they're cleaning up the house because Izzy has destroyed it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No, thank you. No. Yeah. Have you ever had to clean up a party like that before?
No, because I've had parties like that, but I have considerate friends who help clean up. They don't really leave anything too shambly.
Yeah. Yeah. I would. I've never had to do that myself. I've never done anything like a dick move like that. But I've also, if I'm at a party that's like that, I'm like, can I help? Can I do anything?
Yeah, I'm like, if there's just trash sitting around, I'm like, I can at least throw this away. Like, it's fine. I'm like, maybe I'm not going to load your dishwasher, but I'll pick up some trash and throw it away for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so let's rate. Unless, do you have anything else you want to mention?
I don't think so. I don't think we missed anything. I think I got to everything that I wanted to say. I don't have a prediction right now because I just want to live in the moment of
right. Well, there wasn't any like wild cliffhangers in this one anyways, other than the Christina and Burke situation. So
smushing booties.
Yeah, and Bailey knows. Yes, that's
yes.
Kind of a cliffhanger, but not really.
I don't know. I just hope that she gets involved with George so that it can all be kosher. Like everyone's smushing everybody so that she has nothing to be mad at.
Oh, so you want Bailey to sleep with George so that she isn't mad at other bosses for sleeping with her?
Yes.
Okay.
In all of these scenarios, I don't want Alex to have sex with anyone. He just doesn't. He hasn't earned it.
Okay.
I'm going to go at, can we go over rankings for this episode?
Yeah.
I'm giving this a... The top one is attending, right?
Yes.
I'm giving this episode an attending. I'm very happy with this episode.
Yay, it's your first 5 out of 5. Your first attending.
Yeah. But it was because the arc with Alex, we're starting to see him as a person. It was because Christina is finding some action, which she deserves. And Meredith and Burke, I think, have this, you know, different understanding. And also I got to see everyone drink tequila, which is, you know, really great.
I love that. I'm going to do a fellow and half an attending. So a 4.5 out of 5. And a fellow who's, again, almost an attending. Getting those job offers up. Because I do love it. But I don't know. I don't know why. Because I was thinking about it. I was like, I love the character development. And I love the backstories that we get. And the fleshing out of all the people that we're learning more about. But I just... I don't think it's one of my favorites. I don't know why, because I do like a lot about it. But when I think about my favorite episodes, I don't really think this one ever comes to mind and jumps out at me as being one that I really want to watch all the time. So I do like it a lot, and I appreciate what it is in the story and how it is giving us so much more about our characters and then also so much more to look forward to in it as well. So I do love it. I think it's really well done, and I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, me too. And... I almost watched the next one. I almost watched two in a row last night.
Sneaky.
Again, it's Netflix jumping right into it.
Yeah, it is.
But I didn't even look at the name. Like, I was like, oh, no, where's the remote? And I just turned off the TV and I, like, threw it away. You know, like,
the television in the garbage.
don't ruin it. No spoilers. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, this was a good one. my first 5 out of 5 episode. I have a feeling, though, as things get more and more intense, we're going to need to come up with either more levels or I'm going to need to shift my focus a little bit because I'm sure there's going to be more 5 out of 5 episodes for me.
Yes, I think. Yeah, we'll have to. We're gonna brainstorm it. We're going to figure it out.
I love it.
But thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks again for the support up till now. Again, follow us on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod. If you want to send us an email with suggestions or any, you know, if you want to correct, I'm sure we've said 1,000 wrong things. So if you need to correct us on all of those, you can just send us an email and we'll for sure read all of those. So.
And by we mean Kelki.
Yeah.
Kelsey will read them. I won't.
Definitely. Care deeply about all of them. No, I'm just kidding. I listened to our last episode and corrected myself on multiple things, so I understand if you're a major fan and I've already made you mad. I apologize. I'm trying not to. So thank you so much for listening and watching with us, and we will see you next week.
Bye.